The History of the Leech Lake Reservation with Elaine Fleming. Support for this program comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Grant.
Bushu and Dinawe Magani Duk, Bishiku Benesia Kwe Indigo, Minawa. This is Elaine Fleming again, and I still am very humbled to be here to talk about the history of the indigenous peoples of Turtle Island, and in particular about the Leech Lake Nation. I began by talking about demography. And I just want to say again that demography is the study of the composition of particular human populations. It's that study of statistics such as births, deaths, income, or the incident of disease. I said that for many years, the mainstream experts of the United States taught that the original number of indigenous people on Turtle Island in 1500 was 1 million. And I said that was a political number. And later, there would be real numbers presented. And they talked about there being anywhere from 12 million to 18 million people, indigenous people living within the contiguous boundaries of the United States of America. So in 1492, when Columbus sailed that ocean blue, there was a small group of countries in Europe who were traveling all around this world and conquering and colonizing indigenous peoples and nations. So in order for them not to step on each other's toes in their colonization efforts, they were creating international law. And their international law was based on different types of philosophies, such as the Norman yoke. The Norman yoke said that it was a philosophy that any Christian happening on wasteland assumed a natural right an obligation to put land to productive use, having performed God's will and thereby conquering the wilderness, its discoverer can be said to own it. So it was important for the United States of America and taking of the land of the indigenous nations to prove, to justify the taking by basing it on the huge, huge land base being barely occupied at all. So they used this political number of 1 million. So we're using real numbers, and we're just going to say that there were anywhere from 12 million to 18 million people living within the boundaries of the United States, excluding Alaska and Hawaii at the time. And one of the hardest things that hit the indigenous people of Turtle Island was disease of the newcomers. They say that from 1520 to 1524, there was the first pandemic. A pandemic that killed 75% of the indigenous people of North America. Can you imagine? If you had 12 million people in a four-year period, that means that 75% of them would die, 9 million people. It really is unimaginable. They said that from 1520 to 1900, there were serious contagious disease intervals of 4 years and 2.5 months. So I say to you, I had said in the last show that we had this trade network across the continent. And so disease spread really quickly. And how would the deaths of so many of our peoples, of our nations, affect our wellness? How would it have affected our spirituality, our intellect, our physical wellness, our emotional wellness? How would it have affected us? One thing that we know is that this type of trauma, it shows up in our stories. Stories about the spirit called Wendigo. It shows up in our stories about Nanabushu. And a story about Odeimin. Nanabushu, when my mother would tell me those stories, Nanabushu was always carrying a burlap bag. And he was always, always hungry. He was always looking for food. Odeimin, in his story, they say that Odeimin, he got sick. He got sick from one of these plagues. And he died. They say that he traveled west, Ninga Bianung. And when he got to that place where the Manidug stopped him and questioned him, and they said, Odeimin, why are you grieving? Odeimin said, because my people are dying. And so the Manidug said, Odeimin, we're going to send you back, and you tell the people, the Ojibwe people, that their teacher will be coming, and their people will teach them about the good life, Bimanda Ziwin. This teacher, Nanabushu, is in Akaso. And so the trauma that we experienced by disease, these huge numbers, like 75% of our people dying between 1520 to 24 in a pandemic, was just so huge that it ended up in our stories. And in the next show, I will share with you a story about the Wendigo. Disease was spread in other ways too. It was spread by biological welfare. In the war against Pontiac's Confederation in 1763, the commander-in-chief of the British forces was Sir Geoffrey Amherst. And he sent a letter out, and in his postscript he said, quote, smallpox be sent among the disaffected tribes, end quote. And in a reply to Commander Amherst on June 24th, 1763, it said, quote, we gave them 2 blankets and a handkerchief out of the smallpox hospital. Because of this, the disease in the Ohio River Valley, that over 100,000 of the indigenous people died, and it led to the collapse of Pontiac's military alliance. Smallpox infected blankets were also given to the Mandans at Fort Clark on the Missouri River in South Dakota, and it caused a pandemic of 1836 to 1840. In 4 years, again, the death toll exceeded 100,000 people. And it made the conquest of the West much easier. And so, numbers. It's not taken into consideration when they talk about huge numbers of people populating the continent of North America and the way the disease hit them and how then our numbers were so greatly reduced. By 1890, there were less than 250,000 of our peoples left on in North America within the boundaries of the United States. Less than 250,000. In 1500, anywhere from 12 to 18 million down to 250,000. Decimation by disease and demography. It's a very political number. Chie mi kwe ch for listening. Ya eh ha, hey ah, hey ah, ya eh ha.